All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are discussing the Falcons signing of safety Ron Parker, as well as continuing our series looking ahead at Falcons training camp battles at each position, talking running backs today.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon websites on the internet, at FalcFans on Twitter, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked On Falcons podcast. So today's episode, we are going to be talking about the Falcons' recent signing of Ron Parker. They picked him up on Monday. We'll touch upon that in the first part of the show, and we'll devote the last two segments of the show talking about the running back position, as we did on Monday. We talked about the quarterback position doing our training camp preview. This is going to be our continuing series looking at each position group, 12 of them, if I'm not mistaken, over the next 3 weeks. We're going to continue that with the running backs. I should warn you that I will be devoting an entire episode of these to talking about the fullback position. So if you're curious about what I think about the fullback position, you will just have to stay tuned and listen to that separately. So we're just going to be talking about the tailbacks, just to sort of, chum the waters a little bit before we get to that later on in this episode. Sort of the big storyline with me when looking at the running back position going into the summer and going into training camp is whether or not this is going to be the summer of Ito. And I'll explain what that is a little bit later. But first, I do want to talk about the signing of Ron Parker, a veteran safety, I believe 30 years old, been in the league since 2010, 2011, has sort of found a place in Kansas City in 2013. I think that would maybe have been the year that Eric Berry got hurt and he stepped in or something. Probably should have done my research before I jumped on this podcast, but it doesn't matter. He's been a solid free safety for the Chiefs the last several years. Started several games, been a durable asset for them in the secondary, very versatile player. It's interesting because the Falcons were in pursuit of Ron Parker 3 years ago at the beginning of the Dan Quinn era when he was a free agent in that offseason in 2015. I think he sort of priced himself out of the Falcons' range. At the time, I think the Falcons were more looking for him as a nickel cornerback than a starting free safety. Cornerback is the position he played in Seattle in those years prior to going to Kansas City. Then moved out to safety for the Chiefs. But you wonder, if my timetable, my timeline is not messed up because Parker, they couldn't get Parker. They wound up settling for Phillip Adams. And you do wonder maybe the ripple effects, the what if scenarios, had they signed Parker, would have had led to the additions of players like Adams and Jalen Collins, as well as the emergence of Ricardo Allen as the Falcons free safety. That's a conversation for another day, but, take that and run with it if you can. But again, he's a very versatile asset in Ron Parker. Played a lot of single high. Vast majority of what I think he did in Kansas City was single high, but I think they also sort of use him as an interchangeable piece in their secondary. He can play the slot cornerback as he often did. He can play in the box. As I said earlier, earlier in his career when he was with the Seahawks, he did dabble as an outside cornerback when he actually saw the field, which wasn't very often in Seattle. So he's very versatile. So he's really one of these players that if you're a team that likes your safeties being interchangeable, Ron Parker really fits the bill. And at least as far as the Falcons go, that type of safety is a much better fit as a strong safety than a free safety in this particular scheme. And we talked about last week on the episode when we were breaking down the undrafted rookies that the Falcons had in the secondary. One of the things I mentioned was with the subtraction of Sherrod Neesman in the opening that the Falcons had behind Keanu Neal at that strong safety position, it was kind of odd that the Falcons didn't keep Sherrod Neesman with the players that they had brought in this offseason, which was a bunch of first-year guys and undrafted guys. The best case scenario seemed in that regard that they would be making a lateral move as far as the depth goes at Sherrod Neesman. The best case scenario is one of those guys was just as good as Sherrod Neesman, not necessarily better than that. And I think by adding Ron Parker, who's primarily probably going to be the backup to Keanu Neal at strong safety, it's a clear upgrade over what they could have had at Sherrod Neesman. To me, the big question with Ron Parker is not what he brings to the defense, but is he's going to be asked to play primarily on special teams because, as you guys know, you know, typically you don't play more than two safeties unless you, you know, you're going to dabble in some dime. But typically the Falcons under Dan Quinn, when they do go six DBs, they often tend to go two safeties and four cornerbacks. Again, for, you know, I throw out these terms assuming that most of you know, and I think most of you do. But for those of you, you know, nickel is when you have five defensive backs, dime is when you have six defensive backs on the field in your sub packages. And I think one of the valuable things about adding Parker is I think it does potentially expand the Falcons' uses of their dime defense this year. And I think that will come in handy, particularly against certain opponents like Green Bay and Pittsburgh and the Giants, where you're going to want to sort of, you know, deal with some of the matchup problems that they're going to have. They're going to give you, I think dime might be a better strategy at times, not to say that they can play dime the entire game, although I'm never going to complain about one of the Falcons' defensive backs taking over for Devondre Campbell in the defense. But that's a conversation for another day. But going back to the special teams point, I'm meandering with what I'm talking about. But it'll be interesting to see if Ron Parker does play special teams. He hasn't really played regularly on special teams since 2013, a little bit in 2014 with the Chiefs. You know, at his age, 30 or whatever, I don't necessarily know if special teams is going to be something that he's going to be want to be featured regularly, but it also means that, you know, the Falcons don't have to necessarily feature him regularly on special teams if they want to make him a regular component of their sub packages, whether that's nickel or dime, and they can sort of then push guys like Isaiah Oliver, or Brian Poole, or DeMonte Casey, guys that sort of have to earn their stripes, pay their dues, and play a little bit more special teams this year than usual. And I think having a player like Parker makes a lot of sense there. This is an interesting move from the sense of, I think the reason why the Falcons made this move now is thanks in large part to the sort of depressed safety market there was. I remember when Parker got cut, I think back in February or March, someone was like, oh, the Falcons should sign him as a backup. And at the time I was like, well, Ron Parker should be able to get a starting job easy. So why would he settle for being a backup? That would be a great move, but there's no reason for him to settle for being a backup when someone's going to pay him $3 or $4 million to be a starter somewhere. And because the safety market was depressed for various reasons, which, you know, can be discussed on other podcasts, basically there was no real starting offers for Ron Parker out there. And so basically, I guess he wound up saying, you know, being a backup in Atlanta is better than not playing football this year or whatever my other alternative options were out there. So it's a good move. 1 year deal. Don't know quite how much he's getting paid. I'm assuming it's like $1 or $2 million. I can't really imagine that they went out and gave Ron Parker more than $2.8 million or anything like that on a 1 year deal. So, you know, he'll slot in, be a veteran presence in the secondary for a year. We'll see sort of whether that turns into him getting an opportunity in a better safety market next offseason to get a starting gig, or whether or not this is going to be the beginning of, you know, a beautiful friendship long-term in Atlanta. But, you know, that's a 2019 conversation, not a 2018 conversation. What is a 2018 conversation, and this will be my last point on this, is, you know, I think Parker really does give the Falcons, they were arguably, when you go seven guys deep, they were arguably the best secondary in the league. I think I would probably say the Rams, if you could just go five deep, are probably the best, and the Falcons would be somewhere around two or three. But seven deep, I think the Falcons have better depth, you know, six through seven than the Rams do. And now that you have Parker and he's your eighth guy or wherever he is in that hierarchy, now that you have eight guys, I don't think there's any doubt that the Falcons, at least when you go eight guys deep, have the best secondary in the league now that Parker is here, because Parker could start for a lot of teams in this league and should have started for a lot of teams, which again goes back to why I was a little initially, you know, my initial expectations were that someone was going to sign him, because it's hard to find good safeties in this league. So yeah, I think the Falcons now have a great secondary, and you know, this leads me, you know, this is the opportunity for me to rant about sort of why people still don't give the secondary enough love, and why the people have this love-hate relationship with the Falcons secondary, and why people overhype their front seven, and all that type of stuff. But that's 10 minutes of this podcast that I don't want to do. And let's just wrap it up there. This is a great signing for the Falcons, a great depth move. It would be a great signing if they were looking for him to be a starter, frankly, at this point in the offseason. So this is two thumbs up. You know, this is, you know, this will almost even make me forget that the Falcons have absolutely nothing at fullback. Kidding. So that's all I want to say about Ron Parker. And, yeah, we'll talk about the Falcons running back situation heading into training camp in just a bit. But I do want to plug LockedOnSports.com, your one-stop hub to the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball content. Again, that's LockedOnSports.com, your team every day. So let's talk about the Falcons running back position. This is an interesting thing. I mentioned at the top, you know, the big storyline, at least involved with the running back position, is will this be the summer of Ito? And it's interesting because running back is one of those positions where there's a lot of potential for guys to really have these breakout summers. We've seen that in the past with various undrafted guys and rookies that the Falcons have had, which had monster summers. And, you know, whether that translates into the regular season is neither here nor there. But, you know, the big question, I think, the expectation, the hopes from what the Falcons want is they want that breakout guy to be Ito Smith, their fourth round pick. And I think he could, you know, he does certainly has the potential to have that. And I think what's going to be interesting to watch with Ito Smith is I think, you know, it'll compare similarly to what we saw a couple of years ago with Wes Schweitzer during his rookie year, where we saw him sort of competing with Chris Chester for that starting right guard spot. I don't think that was a real competition, but I do think there was a method behind the Falcons' madness and sort of having those guys alternate starting reps well deep into the preseason, which was because the Falcons knew that Chester was going to win the job, but Chester was probably on the verge of retirement after that 2016 season. And they knew that there was going to be a good possibility that they would be looking at Wes Schweitzer to turn the keys over to that starting guard position in 2017. And they wanted to give him as much work as possible in the summer and preseason of 2016 to get him prepared for that. Because, you know, unless you're, you know, really nothing, there's no reason for, you know, the backup offensive lineman to play unless there are injuries. So basically they knew that Schweitzer was likely going to redshirt that rookie season, given that they had Ben Garland as their sort of utility interior player. And so, you know, getting Schweitzer all those reps in the summer of 2016 was sort of with the idea of preparing him for 2017. And you can certainly argue whether or not that worked out, depending on where you feel about Wes Schweitzer. But I think you could see a similar situation with Ito Smith, where the Falcons get him a lot of reps this summer as a preparation more for 2019 as opposed to it preparing him for anything he's expected to do in 2018. I think what's interesting is, you know, I say that because there's really no reason for the Falcons to put Ito Smith on the field as the third running back, because there's no reason for the Falcons to take Tevin Coleman or Devontae Freeman off the field. There's really no situation where Ito Smith is going to come in and be a better option than either one of those two guys. Even if Ito Smith lights it up this summer and has 400 yards rushing in the preseason or whatever, I'll see your 400 yards in the preseason against backups and third stringers versus the 1,000 yards that Tevin Coleman, combined yards that Tevin Coleman gets in the regular season each year against starters, and the potential 2,000 that Devontae Freeman could get if he was just given enough reps to do so. So I think there's no real reason for Ito Smith to really play. If he does see any touches this fall, I think it's going to primarily be as a kickoff returner, if anything, other than the possibility of injuries. You know, that's a real issue with both Coleman and Freeman. Both of those guys have had their nicks and bruises and scrapes over the last couple of years. But so there is a possibility that Ito could get some short-term work. But I think the other reason why the door is wide open for Ito to really shine this summer is that, similar to Matt Ryan, which we discussed on Monday's episode talking quarterbacks, there's really no reason for the Falcons to play Coleman and Freeman a lot during the summer. There's nothing that they need to prove. Like you saw this last summer. I think in the preseason games, Devontae Freeman had a combined total of 2 touches, 1 carry, 1 catch. I think Coleman had 7, so 6 carries, maybe 1 catch or something like that. And so you have a situation where those two guys combined to touch the ball 10 times, in less than 10 times, in 4 or 3 games in the preseason. And so that means somebody's going to get those starting reps, at least with the offensive linemen. You know, the skill position guys tend to get pulled after a series or two. But the offensive linemen staying there for, you know, a good portion of that first quarter and several of those early games. And who else better than Ito Smith? Because we know he's not going to play, or we hope he's not going to play. I mean, if he doesn't play, that probably means that Coleman and Freeman stayed healthy and had really good seasons in 2018. So give all those reps that you normally give to Coleman and Freeman, give all those to Ito Smith. And I think, you know, that's where you can have the makings of the summer of Ito in a lot of regard. And we'll touch upon a little bit more about what that could mean for the Falcons' future, as well as what some of the other running backs that the Falcons are bringing to training camp could wind up doing this summer. But I do want to plug Locked On Braves, one of many baseball podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out host Nabias Wilborn as he breaks down the Atlanta Braves, your team every day. So as I was saying, like you give Ito all those reps, and that opens the door for a potential breakout summer where Ito could be sort of be everybody's favorite player, and you'll have the hot takes where people are like, oh man, we need to trade Coleman, we need to trade Freeman because Ito's going to be great or whatever, which you see now, even before Ito has even stepped on a professional football field, but I'm sure those will even get louder as we get, you know, in the summer. So that's really sort of the main thing I'm looking for. And we'll see sort of what Ito does with those opportunities. But at the same time, Ito getting those opportunities opens the door for some of the other guys deeper on the Falcons depth chart, with guys like Terrence McGee and Malik Williams and Justin Crawford. They also get increased opportunities early in some of these preseason games where Freeman and Coleman are sort of basically pulled after one or two series. And some of these guys might get some early first half reps with starting offensive linemen as well as a second string offensive lineman, where they're going to be in a little bit more advantageous situation to succeed. That was one of the issues that plagued Brian Hill last year, which was once you got past the Falcons' first team offensive line, the drop off in production and blocking was really steep last year, and it was surprisingly steep last year, particularly, you know, especially when you got to the third string. And that was one of the reasons that held Brian Hill back, where he was working hard to you know, turning what should have been like 3 yard losses into 1 yard gains and whatnot. And you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I don't feel like Brian Hill got as much credit as he sort of deserved last summer, because people were just looking at the box scores. But that's a conversation for another day. I do wonder if we'll, you know, hopefully we won't see a repeat of that. Hopefully the Falcons' depth has improved along that offensive line. I have reasons to believe that is the case, but we'll talk about that in a future episode. But the point is, meandering again, that, you know, along with the opportunity that Ito has, you're going to have an opportunity for one of these other guys to step up. And while I don't sit here today thinking that the Falcons are going to keep a fourth running back, a fourth tailback on the roster, it is possible with the increased opportunities that maybe one of these guys can get, that they could keep that guy as that quote-unquote grab bag position that I've talked about a number of times in a number of episodes, where basically the 25th guy in the offense can play any number of positions, and it goes to basically the best position player available in that regard. And that could be a running back. If one of these guys like Malik Williams or McGee or Crawford really does take advantage of the opportunities that Coleman and Freeman sitting the sideline and Ito needing a breather, they can rise to the top. And we saw a similar situation with Teron Ward in his his rookie season, where you had injuries to guys like Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman, and Antone Smith in that first week of training camp. And that really allowed Teron Ward to really earn a spot with this coaching staff, and that sort of, you know, he was able to build upon that later on. And you can imagine a scenario where maybe one of these other guys, whether it's Williams or whether it's Crawford, whether it's McGee, I think what you're hoping for one of these guys is to basically be that Teron Ward type. Hopefully there's no injuries that cause that to happen. But that's what I mean when it comes to taking advantage of your opportunity. And Teron Ward did that. And I think without those injuries in that first week of camp, does he make the Falcons roster in 2015? Probably not. Probably still makes a practice squad. But if he's only on the practice squad as opposed to being on the roster, does he wind up playing 3 seasons in Atlanta? I would say that's probably doubtful. So that's really what some of these guys like McGee and Williams and Crawford are really hoping for. I mentioned before when we broke down their undrafted free agents at the running back position a week ago or whatever it was. You know, I think the interesting thing about Malik Williams is his potential in pass protection. He did a really good job blocking for Lamar Jackson last season. I think Crawford has a good skill set. He might be the more polished, better, pure runner of the two. McGee is okay. He wasn't a guy that necessarily overly impressed me in the great pantheon of LSU running backs that has been over the last like 6 or 7 years. You know, he's low on the totem pole as far as from what I saw, but he's, you know, he's functional. He's certainly capable of being a poor man's Teron Ward, I guess. And maybe he'll change my mind this preseason. So it'll be interesting, long story short, it'll be interesting to see whether or not any of those three guys sort of emerge alongside Ito Smith as the guy. Yeah, I'm trying to think, what else do I want to talk about? Yeah, you know, I think one of the last thing I'll leave us on is, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, where it's like you'll probably get some hot takes, particularly if Ito does really shine. And, you know, this summer will be a factor. Let's say that. I don't know how much of a factor, but what happens at the running back position this summer is going to have a deterministic factor on what happens at the running back position in 2019. I've already seen, you know, there's a large contingent of fans that sort of think Tevin Coleman is a goner. It's a foregone conclusion. There's a small contingent of fans that people think the Falcons are going to get rid of Devontae Freeman after this season. We've had a fan talk where someone specifically discussed that in Zamir. Shout out to Zamir. About Devontae Freeman being more of the short timer than Tevin Coleman. I don't necessarily know if any of those things are true, but I do think if Ito Smith does have a good summer, then it will certainly lend credence and give the Falcons more confidence to be maybe a little bit bolder with whatever decision that is looming in March of 2019 in regards to what they want to do at the running back position. Again, a lot of football that has yet to be played in this calendar year of 2018 will also have probably, you know, will determine 90% of what actually happens in March of 2019. But I do think what happens in August will also be factored into that, because if Ito Smith has a really strong summer and there is the perception that even with a quiet rookie year as a kickoff returner and an occasional offensive producer, if he has this really dominant summer, it's going to make it easier for whatever choice the Falcons make in March, whether that's keeping Coleman or letting him go, whether it's keeping Freeman or letting him go, whatever the case may be. And again, I don't think they're going to let go of Devontae Freeman. I think financially they really can't. But I do think they're still very open to the possibility of keeping Tevin Coleman. So I don't quite agree with folks that it's an inevitable conclusion. But the point of this sort of meandering wrap up is that I do think, you know, if Ito Smith does play well, it does make the Falcons' job easier if they do choose to let somebody walk or get rid of somebody. So that's really going to be the interesting thing to watch. And if Ito doesn't have a good preseason, I don't know how much it's going to factor in, you know, but it certainly will make certain decisions maybe a little bit harder if it comes down to that. So, you know, it could be the summer of Ito, or it could be the not so summer of Ito, or whatever the opposite of winter of Ito. I don't know. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. And I think that'll be the interesting storyline with this running back group. It really is more about the battles. As I said, we know the Falcons are going to keep three running backs. With Ito Smith being a fourth-round pick, there's pretty much a guarantee 99.8% of fourth-round picks wind up being kept their rookie year, even if they don't necessarily, quote-unquote, deserve it. The question is going to be, does any one of those other three guys emerge and possibly steal a 53rd roster spot as a fourth running back? Or more than likely, are any one of those guys going to emerge and be a strong candidate to be on the Falcons practice squad? Or do the Falcons sort of look elsewhere along the waiver wire? They're going to keep another running back, at least on the practice squad, one would assume. So it's just a question of whether it's one of these guys and McGee, Williams, or Crawford, or somebody else. So that's it, guys. That's all we wanted to say about the Ron Parker signing, as well as the running back position. We'll be talking about the fullbacks later on. I probably got more to say about fullback than I do a running back position. Like, similarly to the quarterback situation, you know, running back is a relatively settled position in terms of who's a lock to make the team. It's just a matter of who's competing for practice squad spot, who might be a long shot, but, you know, a dark horse to win a 53rd roster spot. Fullback is a much more wide open position. So I have quite a bit to say about that. And this is the only podcast out there that devotes entire episodes and multiple episodes to talking fullbacks. We've never thought about having a replacement for Alan Sterk as a co-host of the show, but if there's anybody out there, it's probably Ovi Mahaly, who's the most qualified, because then we can just talk fullback 24/7, 365. So, that's it, guys. I appreciate you guys tuning in. We'll be back again with fullback talk. We'll be talking more. We'll be going in the order that you probably suspect: fullback, wide receiver, tight end, offensive line, D line, edge, linebacker, corner, safety, special teams. You know, the pretty boring way of doing it, but hey, it's predictable. It's daily. You guys get used to it. You know where to hit me up if you want to provide feedback on any of the shows that I do, any topics that you want me to hit up. We got a pretty full slate through the month of July. So, any specific topics you suggest, make it punted a little bit till August when things start to clear up a little bit. And, you know, second week of training camp, we're like, hey, this guy practiced well. Who cares? Let's talk, you know. So, but the point is, you can send in your feedback on Twitter. I'm at FalcFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know. If it is podcast related, just go ahead, send over Locked On Falcons. It's the show Twitter handle, Facebook Locked On Falcons, email LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Of course, you can leave a comment at LockedOnFalcons.com or FalcFans.com, where the show is posted daily. And we'll be back, guys. Until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.